If you have your Bibles tonight, let's turn to the book of Ruth in chapter 3. The book of Ruth, chapter 3. Have you ever seen two young people meet? I'm talking about a boy meets a girl, a girl meets boy, and when they meet, there's a spark of interest there. But there's also an awkwardness because they really do not know how to move the relationship forward. And so therefore, a third party will begin to give some advice to one or the other concerning what they can do in order to help to make the relationship to grow. Kind of sounds like a Hallmark movie, doesn't it? Well, this isn't a Hallmark movie. This is actually exactly what we find going on in the story of Ruth. You remember we have seen over the past weeks how that Ruth had met a man by the name of Boaz. And you remember she had experienced his gracious protection. She had experienced his gracious provision. And as a result of those things, she had experienced a restoration of real hope. And so therefore, it was only natural that she would desire to know him better. But as a foreigner, not really familiar with all of the Jewish customs, She was stuck. In other words, she needed someone to help her to fan the flames. Now, if you'll remember, before leaving the land of Moab and returning to Israel, Naomi had told her daughters-in-law in Ruth chapter 1, verse 9, she said, "The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband." In other words, it was Naomi's desire that her daughters-in-law would remarry and that they might find happiness in the house of their husband. And in order to help that to become a reality for Ruth, who had chosen to accompany her back to the land of Israel, in order to help that to become a reality for Ruth, now we come to chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says, "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" And so Naomi here was asking Ruth for permission to help in her relationship with Boaz and to intervene so that the relationship might move forward and come to a full bloom. And then Naomi began to offer some advice. She begins to offer some advice that would help her desire for Ruth to become a reality, that she might remarry and that she might find happiness in the house of her husband. I want you to notice a couple of things here just by way of introduction. Number one, notice the basis of her advice. Verse number two, it says, "And now," this is Naomi speaking, "and now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor." I want you to understand the basis of Naomi's advice for Ruth. There's actually two things that are found here. First of all, she knew who Boaz was. And not only that, she knew where Boaz was. The basis of her advice. And then I want you to notice number two, the content of her device, or her advice. The content of her advice. And there are four things that Naomi is going to tell Ruth that she should do. Four points of instruction that she is going to give to Ruth concerning the moving of this relationship forward. Now, before we go any further, I want us to understand here that this is more, as we have said before, this is more than just a love story about the courtship and the marriage of a rejected alien to a respected Jew. There's more to it than that. There's much more to it than that. As we've seen before, this is actually a picture. It's an illustration of the precious relationship between those who have been saved by the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times Christians become content just to be saved. They become content just to know that they're on the way to heaven, that they have a home prepared for them there. And many times Christians become happy just to be recipients of God's grace, just to be the recipients of God's provisions, just to be the recipients of God's security. But we should not be so satisfied. Rather, like the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, when he said, "Oh, that I may know him," that should be the desire in the heart and life of every child of God. We should always desire not to be just satisfied with the basics of salvation, but we should always desire to know him in a deeper, more personal, more intimate way. And so therefore, the advice that Naomi gave to Ruth is applicable in the life of every one of us who have been saved and made to become a child of God. And so let's notice four points of advice that Naomi had for Ruth. Four points of advice that Naomi is going to give to Ruth. Number one, she was to wash herself. She was to wash herself. In fact, the Bible tells us in Ruth chapter 3 and verse number 3, the first three words of the verse, wash thyself. Wash thyself. Now, when a boy is getting ready to meet that special girl, or a girl is getting ready to meet that special boy, they will always want to be clean. In other words, they will wash and they will scrub until they shine. I mean, they want to be absolutely clean. And Naomi knew it would not do. It would not do for Ruth to enter into the presence of Boaz covered with dirt from the field and smelling like she had just come out of the field. That would never do. And in the same way, if we want to enter into a deeper relationship with our God, then we also must wash ourselves. We must wash ourselves. Now, please understand that there are actually two washings that we find in the Word of God. There are two washings. First of all, letter A, there is the washing of sin. The washing of sin. Now, the Bible very clearly teaches that it is not possible for men to wash away their sins by doing good works. Washing away sin can never come through the waters of baptism. The washing away of sin can never come by following religious creeds or following religious sacraments or all of those other things. In fact, the Bible makes it very clear. The only way that sin can be washed away is by the shedding of blood. By the shedding of blood. That truth was very clearly established way back in the book of Leviticus, chapter 17 and verse 11, where the Bible says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." Only the blood of a innocent sacrifice, only the blood of a sinless sacrifice could atone for the sins of men under that Old Testament economy. But that atonement was limited. It was limited in that while it covered the sins of men for 1 year, it could not totally remove those sins. In fact, that's exactly what we find in Hebrews 10:4, where the writer said, "It is not possible. It is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin." And so that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ came, and that's why when he was introduced by John the Baptist introduced him in a most wonderful way. Listen to it. John chapter 1, verse 29, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." You see, Jesus Christ does not just cover our sin. He totally removes the sin. He totally takes it away from us. And so therefore the Scriptures declare concerning the Lord Jesus in Colossians 1:14 that it is in Him that we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Bottom line is simply this. We cannot wash away our sin. We cannot make an atonement for our sin. The Bible declares it very clearly. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. It is the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, that cleanseth us from all sin. So there is the washing of sin. But then I want you to notice there's also letter B. There is the washing of defilements. The washing of defilements. In other words, cleaning out of our lives those things that would defile us in the eyes of God. Now please understand, when it comes to washing away our sin, as we've already noted, only God can do that. Only God can do that through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this washing of defilements, that is our responsibility. That is something that not only can we do it, it's something we must do. In fact, you remember the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 16, here's what he said. He said, "Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil." You see, that was the washing that Isaiah was talking about. It was a washing of defilements by putting away and putting away the evil and making ourselves clean in the sight of God by putting away the things that would defile us. The Apostle Paul talks about the same thing. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, he says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved," notice it, "let us cleanse ourselves." Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Bottom line, if we're going to have a deeper, a more intimate relationship with our God, then just like Ruth, we need to wash ourselves. We need to put away those evil things, those wicked things that would cause the heart of our God to be grieved. We need to wash ourselves. Number two, not only was she to wash herself, but she was to anoint herself. Verse number three again, "Wash thyself therefore and anoint thee." Now again, when a boy meets that special girl or a girl is getting ready to meet that special boy, not only do they want to be clean, they want to smell good. They want to smell good. So after they wash away the offensive body odor that they have gotten through working in the fields, that's good. But they're not satisfied with just that. They want to anoint themselves with something that smells really good. That special cologne or that special perfume, and they want to anoint themselves so that they smell nice. Now in the Bible, such an anointing is used to represent the presence of the Holy Spirit. Such an anointing is used to represent the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. In fact, that's why the Apostle Paul said this. Listen to it carefully. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 and verse 15. He said, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor," that's the smell, "the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor," a sweet smell of Christ, "in them that are saved and in them that perish." In other words, when we have the smell of the knowledge of Christ in us through the working of the Holy Spirit, God is pleased by that. But that's not all. The more we allow the Holy Spirit to control our lives, the sweeter and the more effective will our smell, our influence be in the lives of both the saved and the lost. Ruth anointed herself with sweet-smelling ointments as she prepared to get to know Boaz in a more personal, in a more intimate way. And as Christians, if we want to really know God, if we want our knowledge of God to be deep and we want to have a deeper relationship with Him, then we must be filled with the sweet anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. She was to wash herself. She was to anoint herself. Number three, she was to dress herself. In verse number three, wash thyself therefore and anoint thee, and then notice it, and put thy raiment upon thee. Again, when a boy is getting ready to meet that special girl, or a girl is getting ready to meet that special boy, they want to be clean, yes, and they want to smell good, absolutely, but they also want to look good. They want to look good, and so they search through their wardrobe, they go through their closet, and they pick out their very best garments, the best clothes that they have. In the very same way, God has provided a spiritual wardrobe for us. He's provided a spiritual wardrobe for us. Let me mention a couple of things. First of all, letter A, there is the garment of salvation. The garment of salvation. Again, the prophet Isaiah spoke of it. In Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10, he said, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness." Oh, what a wonderful garment it is to know that when we stand before God, we do not stand uncovered with the sin and the guilt and the shame that we have by nature, but rather we can stand before God fully and appropriately clothed in the garments of salvation, the robe of righteousness. There's the garment of salvation, but not only that. I want you to notice that to go along with that garment of salvation, to go along with that robe of righteousness, there's another garment, and that is this, letter B, the garment of service. The garment of service. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 14, the Bible says we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. In fact, as you go through the book of Hebrews, you'll find that time after time, in fact, on 12 different occasions in that one book, 12 times in the book of Hebrews, the Lord Jesus is identified for us as our high priest, as our high priest. Now, you remember back in the Old Testament times, Aaron was the high priest. It was Aaron who actually would go into the very presence of God to make atonement for the sins of the Israel. It was Aaron who would actually go into the Holy of Holies and anoint the horns over the mercy seat. It was Aaron, the high priest, that did that. But you remember, Aaron's sons were also priests who served under him. And that's the same relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. He is our high priest, but we also are priests who serve under him, representing our God before a lost and a dying world. In fact, that's why the Apostle Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, he said, "Ye also," talking to believers, "ye also are lively stones," or as lively stones, "are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." If we're going to enter into a deeper relationship with God, we must put on the garments of service. In other words, every believer ought to be involved in ministry. Every believer ought to be involved in offering up those spiritual sacrifices to their Heavenly Father. Because Ruth desired to know Boaz more intimately, she was to wash herself, she was to anoint herself, she was to change her clothes, and then I want you to notice number four, she was to present herself. She was to present herself. Now, I want to say here that contrary to the wicked imaginations of filthy minds, there was nothing improper, there was nothing suggestive, and there was nothing that was sexually perverse in the presentation of Ruth to Boaz. Notice two points of instruction that Naomi gave to Ruth concerning this presentation of herself. First of all, notice the method of it. In verse number 3, "Get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking." In other words, when Ruth came and presented herself to Boaz, it was done secretly. It was done secretly. She was not to put on a show. She was not to be like the drama queen who makes everything a big production. It was to be done secretly, this presentation of herself. And if we want to have a deeper relationship with God, then we have to come in the very same way. In fact, that's why the Lord Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, when he was teaching about the subject of our giving, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 to 4, he says that when we give, our giving is to be done in secret. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 and 6, he was talking about the subject of prayer. And he said that when we pray, our praying is to be done in secret. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 to verse 18, when he was talking on the subject of our fasting is to be done in secret. In other words, we are not to make a show of our giving. We're not to make a show of our praying. We're not to make a show of our fasting. Rather, when we are dealing with God, we are to deal with Him in a secret way. In a secret way. But you see, that kind of goes against our nature, doesn't it? Because man, with his arrogant pride, he likes a religion that allows him to show everybody how good he is. He wants a religion that allows him to put on a display of his goodness and all of that. He wants a religion, basically, that will serve as a platform where he can exalt himself before the eyes of others and win their praise. But God is not impressed. God is not impressed with such self-exaltation. And therefore, Naomi, not only did she instruct Ruth concerning the secrecy of the presentation, she also spoke, letter B, of the attitude of it. The attitude of it. Look at verse number 4. "It shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do." Now, this whole verse is filled with the attitude of simple humility. It's filled with an attitude of simple humility. The old writer Joseph Benson, in his commentary, noted this concerning Ruth. She was not to lie down by his side, for that would have been immodest, but at his feet in the posture of a humble supplicant. If we want to have a deeper relationship with God, then we must put away our pride. We need to come to Him with an attitude of true humility. In fact, that's why we're given the very clear warning in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 6. The very clear warning, it's very clearly stated, God resisteth the proud, and He gives grace to the humble. If we're going to enter into a deeper relationship with our God, then just like Ruth, we need to know the ground rules. We need to know the ground rules. We need to know how we are to come before Him. Now, more than anything else, Ruth desired to know Boaz. She wanted to know him more deeply, more intimately, more personally. And therefore, whatever it was that Naomi said for her to do, Ruth was willing to do it. She was willing to do anything in order to know Boaz more intimately. In fact, that's why after hearing all the instructions of Naomi about washing herself, anointing herself, clothing herself, and then how to present herself and all of that, after hearing all of those instructions, notice in Ruth chapter 3, verse 5, here's what Ruth said. She said unto her, "All that thou sayest unto me, I will do." Everything you've said, that's exactly what I'm going to do. Because I want to know Boaz more intimately. Question. How badly do you really want to know God? How deeply do you really want to know Him? And I'm not asking, are you saved? I'm taking that for granted. Because you see, really, as a person, if you have not received Christ as your Savior, there's no way you can know God. There's no way you have any relationship with Him at all. So to have a deeper relationship with God implies that you already have a relationship. So I'm not talking about are you saved. I'm talking to believers here. And I'm asking you, as a child of God, as a child of God, do you really want to know your God more intimately? Do you want to know Him in a deeper, more personal way, the way the Apostle Paul did, as we mentioned earlier? If so, then may God help us to have the same humble attitude that Ruth had, an attitude that is willing to obey whatever He commands us to do. And when we do that, then we will find in our lives the reality of the wonderful promise that is stated in James chapter 4, verse 8, where James wrote, that if we will draw nigh to God, then God will draw nigh to us. Draw nigh to God. God will draw nigh to you. May that wonderful reality be true in each one of our hearts and each one of our lives, even today. And if you're listening to this and you don't even have a relationship with God, there's no way you can know Him better because you don't know Him at all. You've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then I pray today would be a day of salvation for you, that you would humble yourself before God and acknowledge that you're a sinner, that you've broken His law, you've offended His holiness. But Jesus Christ died for you. And I pray that even tonight, that you might call on the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for you and shed His blood for your salvation, that you would call upon Him and ask Him to wash you, to cleanse you from your sin. And for those of us who are saved, may we earnestly desire to put away all of those things that would defile us and hinder us from really knowing our God as we should.